Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the History Lesson Podcast with your host, Ringside Robert.
Everybody, welcome to the History Lesson Podcast with yours truly, the one and only Ringside Robert. Today, we're going to honor the champ, the one and only, the greatest of all time, and don't use the acronym the GOAT, that is an insult, the one and only legendary Muhammad Ali. The only man to ever win the heavyweight title 3 times. I know Evander Holyfield won it 5 times. But remember, when Holyfield was heavyweight champion, there were more belts. Muhammad Ali is the only one to ever win the lineal title 3 times. So, and as far as I'm concerned, he's the greatest of all time. Today, we're going to talk about October 30th, 1974, from Zaire, the rumble in the jungle, between the challenger, the one and only Muhammad Ali, and back then, the Triple G of the heavyweight division, the one and only George Foreman. George came in to that ring at that time, absolutely a scary individual. 40 consecutive wins, 37 knockouts. He demolished everybody in his path. There were people worried for Muhammad Ali's life. But Ali wasn't worried. Angelo Dundee wasn't worried. Angelo Dundee kept telling everybody before the fight that Muhammad Ali would knock out George Foreman. And Muhammad Ali told Larry Merchant before the fight, George made it past 7. His parachute would open up in the 8th, and that would be it. I got that from an interview I heard yesterday. As I'm recording this on Tuesday, June 7th. And I heard several interviews yesterday on a radio show that I listened to on Sirius XM. And yesterday, this particular talk show honored Muhammad Ali for the 4 hours that they were on. And they had interviews with Dave Anderson, who is a legendary sports writer with the New York Times, Larry Merchant, who before he got on HBO, was a very well-known sports writer in the Philadelphia area and basically ran the Philadelphia Daily News back then. They also had interviews with Larry Holmes and Teddy Atlas. And they also had an interview with, I think it was Dennis Swanson. They were one of the producers back at ABC Sports back then, talking about the relationship between Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. But getting to the rumble in the jungle, I just reviewed this a bit ago, and the broadcast that I was able to listen to had the Colonel Bob Sheridan, Hall of Fame football player Jim Brown, David Frost, who was a talk show host back then, back in the day, and Joe Frazier. They were all at ringside. And, of course, as you know, the rumble in the jungle is where Muhammad Ali developed the rope-a-dope. That's where he laid on the ropes and allowed George Foreman to punch himself out. That's exactly what happened. Ali came out in the first round and did his typical dancing and moving and threw several good punches. And he did that for the first couple of rounds. Danced and moved and you know, fought the way that people were used to. And they both landed good shots against one another. In the third round, Ollie employed the rope-a-dope. And of course, for those that don't know, the rope-a-dope is where basically Ollie would lay on the ropes and basically allow George to punch himself out. And he did that for like the third and fourth round. And of course, none of the commentators at ringside could understand what he was doing. They had no clue. They thought it was very bad for Muhammad Ali to do that. But in the fifth round, it became a very competitive round, both threw solid punches at one another. And again, this was all a strategy for Muhammad Ali to wear out George Foreman. Remember, on the night of October 30th, 1974, the temperature was 85 or 90 degrees in Zaire, and the humidity was about 85 or 90%. So Muhammad knew if he made George exert all of his energy, that he would eventually get him to fold. And that's exactly what happened. In the fifth round, it was a competitive round. They both went back and forth. It was probably the best round of the whole fight. But after that, rounds six and seven, Ollie kind of rested again and then backed away against the ropes and allowed George to continue to punch away and punch away and punch away. And then in round eight, the round started out slow, but as the round kept going, Ollie kept throwing more punches, putting more pressure on George, and then towards the end of the round, he hit him either with a right hook or a right uppercut right on the chin and turned out the lights. The fight ended. He became the heavyweight champion for the second time. And, of course, there was a lot of rumors back then that Ollie was going to retire after that fight. And he even said in a post-fight interview that they had on the broadcast that I listened to that, yes, that was the way he was leaning. But he also said in the same interview, "They stole my title from me unjustly, so I may decide to keep it for a while." And, of course, that's exactly what happened. He ended up keeping it until Leon Spinks took it away in 1978, and of course, Muhammad Ali ended up getting it back because Spinks beat him in February of 78, and then August or September of 1978, Muhammad Ali got it back for the third time, and then officially retired and vacated the title, and then that's when they had the fight between Larry Holmes and Ken Norton, and Larry Holmes began his title reign, which he held from, I guess it was late 78 or early 79, all the way up until 1985. And, of course, Larry had 20 successful title defenses. And, of course, the only heavyweight that's ever been able to do that or duplicate that and go longer was the one that specialized in the Bum of the Month Club, and that was Joe Louis at 25 consecutive title defenses. So, great fight. For those that want to hear all the fights, I have on my tree option two. I have the Thriller in Manila with Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Option four, I have the Rumble in the Jungle with George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. And then on option five, I have his comeback fight when he was officially allowed to return back to the ring. And the fight took place in 1970 in Atlanta, Georgia, between Muhammad Ali and Jerry Quarry. So I have that on option five. And if you want to listen to any of those, you can hear all those by calling 773-572-7781. Option six will have this podcast. And I've got other stuff on options 7, 8, and 9 dealing with either wrestling or MMA stuff because I want a wide audience. And, of course, the Ringside Reporter podcast that we did on Sunday to honor Muhammad Ali is on option one. And then on option three, I have the next round with Kim and Gabriel Montoya. They have supported Eric, me, and Joe Habib in our endeavor of putting together a top-notch broadcast, so I will always have a spot for those two guys. They both have been very supportive, and they're fantastic people. So that's what's available on all nine options of my tree. And remember, if you call my tree and you've already heard something, say you've selected an option, and you've already heard something. Archives are available. All you have to do is press pound once you've selected an option, and you can move on to the next thing. So there you go. The Rumble in the Jungle and the Thriller in Manila was two of my most favorite Muhammad Ali fights. Of course, he was my idol. My dad got me interested in boxing. That if it wasn't for my dad, I wouldn't be talking about boxing today. And the first fight I ever watched was March 8th, 1971, between Muhammad Ali and Smokin' Joe. Great 15 rounds of boxing, as I discussed on the Ringside Reporter podcast. And don't forget, go to the Ringside Reporter website at ringsidereporter.com, and we've got great articles there. And Eric has got good articles there, and we've got people writing for us, and hopefully we'll get some more. We want to be the boxing outlet for the people, and we want to do it the right way. And if you want to call in on Sundays and participate in the show, please do that. 323-870-3857. Be sure to press 1, and you'll be able to talk. We got a great lineup of fights coming up this weekend, and I'm sure Sunday evening we'll have a lot to talk about. So I'm looking forward to that as always. Some interesting things came up yesterday when I was listening to a lot of the interviews. Of course, Dave Anderson and Larry Merchant were both old enough to cover a lot of Muhammad Ali's fights in the 60s and 70s. And they both rank Muhammad Ali way up there in the rankings as far as all-time best. And, of course, I think he's the greatest. I think he's the number one heavyweight of all time. There are more heavyweights who have had longer title reigns. There are more heavyweights that have won more fights. But the list of people he fought in the decades he fought them, there's not too many resumes that can come out and challenge the people that he actually fought. Although, in defense of Larry Holmes, Larry Holmes is one of the most underrated heavyweight champions of all time. And he deserves some proper respect as well. And he talked about, he became Muhammad Ali's sparring partner when Muhammad opened up his training camp in Pennsylvania in 1971 after he lost to Joe Frazier. And Larry Holmes had been he started being Muhammad Ali's sparring partner in 1971 after the Frazier fight, and he remained Muhammad Ali's number one sparring partner until after the Thriller in Manila, And he said, when it came time for Muhammad to fight George, Larry showed up at the Pennsylvania training camp to help Ollie get ready for George Foreman. And Ollie instructed him. He said, okay, I'm going to lay on the ropes, and you're going to hit me with everything you've got. And you're going to keep doing it every single day throughout training camp. And Larry said, are you nuts? And because Larry, like, he couldn't figure out what Muhammad Ali was doing. Larry said he didn't understand what Muhammad was doing until he actually watched the fight the night of the fight. He couldn't figure out why Muhammad Ali wanted to use, you know, such weird methods. And he didn't get it until he was actually watching that fight. And, of course, Larry, I didn't know this, but Larry appeared on several Muhammad Ali undercards. That was his reward for being his number one sparring partner. He gave Larry a place to live for about 4 years, gave him steady work, paid him on a pretty much daily basis, and also gave him several fights to help him with his career. And that's why Larry loved him so much and did not want to fight him in 1980. He had to. Legally, he had to. He had no choice, or he would have had to give up the heavyweight title. So he went ahead and did it. He said one of the reasons why he went ahead and fought him is he wanted Muhammad Ali to get the money that he justly deserved. And Larry said that was the only fight that he took a smaller purse than his opponent. He made sure in the negotiations that Muhammad Ali got more money than Larry Holmes. He wanted Muhammad to have as much of the purse as he wanted, because that's how much respect he had for the guy. When Larry Holmes, by rights, could have demanded and would have earned more of the purse. So, just outstanding stuff. And, of course, Teddy Atlas came on and talked about the training methods that Angelo Dundee did. And Teddy basically said, and I think this is great, Teddy said, and I quote, Angelo had a true special talent, and he knew how to stay out of Muhammad Ali's way. But he also knew that when trouble arose, he also knew what to tell Muhammad to do and how to execute a fight plan. He even talked about the story during one of the fights in the 1960s where Muhammad Ali got hit towards the end of a round, and Angelo Dundee discovered a hole in one of the gloves, and he made the hole bigger. So they had to go get a replacement glove, and it took them about 10 minutes to do so. By the time they did that, Ali was fully recovered and went out and won the fight. I guess it was during one of the Henry Cooper fights. I don't remember those. I didn't get to see any of those. But apparently that's what happened. They had like a 10-minute delay, and he was able to recover. And then he went on and knocked out the guy. But Teddy said that Angelo knew that he had a special talent, and he basically stayed out of his way. Really good stuff. For those of you that are SiriusXM subscribers, if you want to hear some of this stuff, if you have SiriusXM accounts, you can go to SiriusXM.com and go to the on-demand feature, and you can look up the Mad Dog Unleashed show from yesterday, Monday, June 6th, and you can hear all these interviews that I refer to. Outstanding stuff that Mad Dog put on. And Mad Dog doesn't know a whole lot about boxing, you know, because he doesn't cover it on a regular basis. He covered it more when he was working for WFAN in New York, when he was involved in the Mike and the Mad Dog show from 1989 until 2008. They used to have big shows, big radio shows at the Garden before big fights. But since he went to SiriusXM and is basically running his own channel, boxing is not his area of expertise. But I thought he did an outstanding job yesterday. So if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you can go listen to all this stuff. If you have a valid account and you can access the on-demand feature. Good stuff yesterday. I got to give Christopher Mad Dog Russo his absolute props. I started listening to the guy back in 2000 when I got my DirecTV account and got the sports package and was able to watch Mike and the Mad Dog every day on the Yes Channel. So for about 4 years, from 2000 until I moved in 2004, I was able to watch Mike and the Mad Dog on a daily basis. Thank you to DirecTV. 'Cause, I'm an overall a sports fanatic. When I love my sports, I love them fully. And, hell, I could do a podcast on just about any sport I'm interested in. But I love to talk boxing. That's why I'm here. I want to give people the best stuff out there. I want to make sure people can express their opinions and all that kind of good stuff. And keep tweeting your selections of fights that you want to see me do, because I promise you I will do my best to get to each and every one of them. Okay, this is your show. Whatever you want me to cover on the history lesson, as long as I have access to it, I will. Because I'm doing this for all hardcore boxing fans or people that are just learning about boxing and they want to know about fights from the past. So, this is your platform. You tell me what you want me to do and I'm going to do it. But we had to honor a champ here, the greatest of all time. And by the way, they're going to have two funerals for him this week in Louisville. Thursday they're going to have a Muslim funeral. That'll go on at noon Eastern time. And that'll be Thursday, June 9th. And then Friday, June 10th, they're going to start the parade. Going to remind people of the JFK procession during the John F. Kennedy funeral, where, they rolled down. They did everything on a horse and carriage and rolled everything down. I guess they're going to do something similar. They're going to hit all the major sites that were important to Muhammad Ali. It's going to start at 9 a.m. Eastern, and the actual funeral will take place at 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday, June 10th. And they're supposed to be streaming that. I would love to give you the website that is going to be available for that, but I don't have access to it. So watch out for it and stream it if you want to. I think he deserves to be on national TV. I think it deserves to interrupt all major programming, and I think we need. I think everybody in the whole country of the United States needs to see this funeral live. But I don't know if the network. People will actually do that, but that's what I'm abdicating. So I hope that happens. And if we can find that The funeral service will be there. It will be on ringsidereporter.com, I can promise you. So, and now I'm going to talk about somebody that I don't know anything about. Last night, apparently, MMA fighter Kimbo Slice has died at the age of 42. And frankly, I don't know a whole lot about him because I'm not an MMA guy. If you're not a boxing person, I don't really pay attention to you. I'm not a UFC guy. I'm not an MMA guy. I'm never gonna purchase a pay-per-view event through the UFC, and I'm never gonna sit down and watch an MMA fight. I'm old-fashioned. I like boxing. I don't want to see anybody in any damn cages unless it's a steel cage wrestling match. But RIP to Kimbo Slice, and we'll be covering it more on Sunday. But I'm going to leave that up to Eric because that's his area of expertise. You can get a hold of Eric, by the way, at ringside73. If you're interested in writing for the website, he'll give you the details and all that kind of good stuff. So make sure to get a hold of Eric. And of course, if you want to get a hold of the one and only Joe Habib at jhabib1 on Twitter or at Beating the Odds with Beeb on YouTube, I'm sure the great Joe will come out with some wonderful videos. So be sure to hit those guys up. Let me see. Let me see. Francisco Estrada, I hope I got the name right, has vacated his title. I guess he's going to be moving up in weight. And sorry about the ringing phone. Apparently he's going to be moving up in weight. And Robert Easter is going to get a shot at that vacant title. So Robert Easter will get a shot at that vacant title, and so we'll see what happens with that. And I forget the name of the guy he's going to be fighting, but apparently that'll happen fairly soon. So there we go. So congratulations to Robert Easter from Cincinnati, Ohio. We got to support all the Cincinnati guys because Eric won't let us down if we don't support all those Cincinnati guys. Robert Easter is going to get a title shot, I guess, fairly soon. We'll have that on the upcoming boxing schedule when it's made official. I hope you've enjoyed our look back at Muhammad Ali and George Foreman, The Rumble in the Jungle. One other thing I can tell you about that is George has given several interviews since Muhammad died on Friday. And George has said that Muhammad kept talking to him throughout the fight. And Muhammad kept, after George would hit him with shots, Muhammad would say, "Is that all you got? Is that all you got?" And finally, towards the end of the fight, I guess George finally told him, "Yeah, that's pretty much it." So... And George doesn't keep boxing memorabilia around his house, but apparently the only photograph he keeps on his desk at home is a photo where George is laid out on the canvas and Ali is standing above him. And he said that's the only boxing photo that he's kept in his house, because it motivates him every day to live a good life. So I thought that was fascinating stuff. But I'm going to get out of here, and we'll be back with you next week. And again, hit me up on Twitter at Ringside Robert or call the Ringside Robbie's Boxing Corner at 773-572-7781. And anytime you guys want to talk boxing, I'll be glad to do it. I can talk all day. Anyway, catch you guys later. We'll see you next week. Have a good one, everybody. And rest in peace, Champ.